Hey, now, this is Seth Barrows from Channel 9. We're here at WebExpo 2015 in the beautiful city of Prague. It's lovely.
It's a lovely place.
I'm here with Robbie McCorkle. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
So tell us what you do.
So I'm a user interface developer at a company called Red Badger. We're kind of a software development house in London.
Okay.
And we work with the big clients. But the reason I'm here today is we do all of our work with our clients with React.
Now, I've heard about React, and I've heard it's all the rage. Some people I really trust said it's like a really good framework.
Yeah.
So tell us what React is. Is it like an Angular? Is it like an Aurelia? What is it?
Yeah, it's certainly the new kid on the block that everyone's talking about. It's kind of a competitor to Angular, but it's a little bit different in that it's almost just the Vue engine.
Okay.
So people like to refer to it as like the V in MVC.
Okay.
I don't think that's quite accurate. It's like a little bit different. But it's essentially, it's a Vue engine that is very, very functional. So it's pretty much just a function of the inputs you put in. You put in some data and it spits out HTML in its most simple form.
Interesting.
And then it has all kinds of mechanisms for sort of making components out of your UI and passing data and messages between them. But I think the most interesting part of it is that functional nature. And that's what my talk's going to be about today.
Oh, so it's today?
Yeah.
What time?
3 p.m.
Interesting. So here, I'm having a hard time visualizing, because you're saying it's just the view, and you say functional, and I'm thinking either functional, like the UI is like you can do stuff with it, or functional is in you're passing functions in, like in a functional program.
Yeah, like a functional programming kind of sense, in that an ideal React application is like a pure function, in that it has no side effects. You just pump data in, and it gives you a UI. So the way React works is through a sort of a one-way data flow. In that if something needs to change in your UI, like you press a button and a menu opens, you essentially just change the data that goes into the function.
And everything
And then React re-renders everything, which sounds insane. It sounds like it'll be the least performant thing in the world. But with JavaScript engines today that are really fast and the optimizations that they've done underneath in React, it is an extremely powerful and quick framework. But it's got this very, very simple structure. You just change the data, re-render the whole UI again.
Interesting. So here's my question. Walk us through the process of creating a React view so that maybe the viewers can visualize it a little bit better.
Yeah, sure. So like a really simple React application doesn't need to be the entire site. It could just be one component within your page.
Okay.
And that's probably the simplest
way of
looking
at it. Is it a spa-like kind of thing, or is it just a rendered view?
Yeah, it's just a render view, but it has its own kind of event mechanisms that it can listen to. So essentially, you can just load up your JavaScript file, your React JavaScript file, and you can create a component that you mount to a particular point in the DOM.
Okay.
So when you start out, you can just create an empty element in your page, whether that's the whole page or just part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And your React component in JavaScript defines the logic and the structure, the HTML, of your component, which is another thing that sounds completely insane about React. You actually write your HTML in JavaScript.
Now, how is it? Is it like JSX type stuff? Is that what it is?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's JSX. So you do have the option of just writing it in terms of function calls, but that looks terrible. So they invented JSX. To make it look a bit more structured in JavaScript. So Facebook's kind of idea behind this was that when we split JavaScript and HTML, we call it a kind of a separation of concerns.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't think that's true. They say it's actually more of just a separation of technologies, not concerns. Your real concern is
the actual component.
The component and what it does.
I see.
Which is why they decided to combine it.
So in essence, a component is a JavaScript React function
mm-hmm.
that you pass data into, and it takes that data and creates the DOM tree that attaches to a particular element.
Exactly, yeah.
And you might have multiple React components per page, and that's quite okay.
Absolutely, and it's even encouraged to have many, many, many very small components that just take little bits of data. Because the less data a component takes, the more they can optimize that rendering. If that component, when it needs to re-render, can check the data going into it, see if the data's changed. If the data hasn't changed, it doesn't need to re-render. So if you have really small components that don't take very much data, that's a hugely optimized function.
That's an interesting way of looking at your web application. Now, instead of looking at pages, you're looking at elements or functionality. Like, for example, your login stuff.
Yeah.
Right? If they're logged in, it looks like this. If it's logged out, it looks like that. And that's just one component.
Absolutely.
Or you have like your, I don't know, some other thing. It's just one component. So talk a little bit about sort of how React makes you think differently about designing web applications.
Yeah, so I think React really makes me look differently about that event loop. Mm-hmm. Because it's a one-way data flow, it really helps you to design your applications to be extremely dumb, if that makes sense.
Which is the, better.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So you end up having very, very little logic in the UI because all your UI does is respond to different types of data. So like you say, in maybe your header of your page, you just have a simple if statement in your JSX that just says if user is signed in. If some bit of data that says the user is signed in, put this on the page, otherwise put that on the page, which might be your sign-in link.
Sure.
Or your Hello Robbie link. And so, yeah, you end up having very, very dumb UI, and then all of your logic just happens elsewhere, and you can rely on React to do the optimization of just pumping that data in, which, yeah, makes you architect your applications in a very different way to your sort of classic MVC with two-way communication between each of those parts.
So it's pretty clear to me how React is sort of generating this HTML mm-hmm. using JSX. The question is, how do you get events back?
Right, from the DOM?
Yeah, from the DOM.
Yeah, so React has an abstraction layer from the DOM that they call the virtual DOM. Mm-hmm. So actually, all of those events are kind of handled for you, and you only deal with React's own versions of those DOM events. So if somebody clicks a button, you still have an on-click event on your React component or your React component that represents a div element or something like that. So it kind of feels like you're working with a DOM anyway, but everything is being done behind the scenes, so events are batched and optimized a lot. And the other reason for the virtual DOM is that they have this other optimization layer where once your application re-renders and comes up with a new DOM structure, that new DOM structure is represented in the virtual DOM, and then they run a diffing algorithm against the virtual DOM to the real one, and then they only make the minute changes that they need to make to the real DOM to represent your changes, which is one of the reasons it's quite so fast. So it's that kind of thing. It's diffing between the virtual DOM and the real DOM, and it's batching of events and batching of renders and just abstracting the entire DOM away from you, which is one of the things that makes it so special. And that's one of the reasons why they're making the transition of using React on native apps on mobile devices and mm-hmm. stuff, because actually React isn't dependent on the DOM, or it doesn't need to be.
I see.
It can use anything as its kind of rendering engine, whether that's the DOM or some kind of native context.
That's interesting. So I'm trying to picture in my head now sort of the life cycle of a React application.
Mm.
So I'm imagining calling a bunch of functions which are going to render components,
mm-hmm.
and I'm trying to imagine when you render those, when you execute those functions, are you attaching events to those? I'm trying to understand how the events come back.
Yeah, so the actual React component does have a life cycle, and it's not just it isn't just HTML being printed out. It does stay alive during the sort of during your page visit,
right.
During the time that the application is alive. So it has various life cycles. You have functions that say, you know, when it's going to mount, when it did mount, and all these kind of things, and one render function. But because there's only one render function, you have all of your logic in there. So you just rely on the fact that when data changes, that render function is going to be called again. The way that you change data within a React component is that as well as taking data in, they have a concept of internal state. So you can set some state within your component, and then when you click a button, you can change that state. So
and
it's
the
kind
render
of
will be called again.
Exactly. So if that state is being passed down to a subcomponent, that subcomponent will be re-rendered because it knows the data from its parent has changed.
I see. So there's like this notion of state within. I don't know, attached to the document or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then anytime there's a change, the render functions are called again,
yep.
and they're called sort of in a bubbly type way down.
Exactly. So you have this sort of huge tree of React components, and if you change the state on something quite high up, you're going to have a ripple down effect of render calls. If you've optimized your application nicely and it can check whether the data is the same, not all of those render calls will do anything.
I see.
But if they do, you've still got this extra layer afterwards of diffing between the virtual DOM and the real DOM so that React can decide what actually needs to be done to the DOM.
That's interesting.
Because that's the kind of the slower part of the process.
So it's diffing, and then it's seeing, is there anything I really need to do with this data change?
Yeah. So you might do all of these expensive render calls, which actually aren't very expensive because V8 and stuff is very fast. And it will do the diff against the real DOM, and it might just go, oh, actually, it's the same. I'll just do nothing. Yeah.
So the other question I have is about JSX.
Yeah.
So is that like is there some kind of pre-processing that needs to happen to change? So talk about that process and development cycle.
Yeah, so they have all these kind of transpilers, and I think transpilers seem to be exploding at the moment. So like on our projects, we use Babel or Babel, so we get to write ES6 and ES7 JavaScript, and Babel actually comes with a JSX transpiler prepackaged.
Interesting.
Although Facebook ship their own as a standalone thing. So when you are building your application, you do need to run some kind of build process to transpile that down into just normal JavaScript, because actually underneath JSX is just function calls.
Yeah.
A DOM element, like a div element in JSX, is just like react.dom, .div.
Yeah.
Or create DOM element brackets div, something like that.
We don't want to know, actually.
Yeah, let's recite codes to the camera. but that seems to be a big thing, is just transpilers galore at the moment. Although Facebook do also ship a JSX runtime environment. So if you don't want to be setting up huge transpilers for like a quick like test out pet project, you can include another script in your page that is a runtime environment for JSX, and it will then understand JSX code from there.
Interesting. So during development process, you probably have your folder structure, and then you have your transpilers that sort of output out to bin or www or something, and then you test it that way.
Yeah.
Now, are you finding that React is fast? What's the speed like?
Yes, it generally is very fast. I mean, a lot of those optimizations that we talked about cause it to be fast, which is very counterintuitive.
I know.
It sounds like it's doing a lot of work. But I think it's due to the fact that not all the render functions are being called. JavaScript engines these days are very fast. And then the final step, which the slowest step, is usually the DOM operations.
Right.
And it's doing the minimum amount possible. So if you compare React to something like Angular, you tend to find there are much fewer DOM operations being done by React than Angular. That being said, it is possible to fall down trapdoors with React, as with any framework, language, whatever. And believe me, I've done it many times.
I'm sure we all have.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've built apps that can be pretty slow in React. But you generally just have to make sure that your data is just very, very clean. React responds best to simple data types. Just use strings and arrays and simple objects that can be compared very easily. And even better, another topic that I'll be talking about today is the use of immutable data, which is another kind of functional thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because if you use immutable data structures, React can just use reference equality to check if anything has changed, which is extremely fast in JavaScript. And then you can really, really start to make huge performance gains if you make sure that you're never changing data in place.
So talk a little bit about how do we get to immutability? Because obviously that feels a little different than what we're used to with JavaScript. How do you get to that?
Yeah, so there are many libraries out there. One of the ones that we're using, which I think is the most popular, is immutable.js, which was created by Facebook themselves. Mm-hmm. And immutable.js, it tries to replicate a lot of the data structures that have been created for other functional languages, so for sort of closure and things like that, but in a JavaScript context. So for the most part, it's trying to replicate simple data structures like arrays and like maps, but you have slight differences in obviously the function calls that you're doing. Rather than creating an object, you create sort of immutable.map or something like that. But from there on, it has a fairly kind of mutable API that's relatively easy to handle. And it's pretty fast, and it doesn't use a lot of memory because there's a lot of structural sharing going on underneath, which is very clever. Yeah. That's something I would want to be programming myself.
So immutable.js is what you're calling it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Well, thanks so much for spending the time with us.
Well, thank you.
Any final tips for those wanting to get started with React? Where can they go to learn more, or what tips do you have for them?
Well, React has some really good documentation with really good examples you can play with. One of the things we're doing at Red Badger is trying to distill all of the best learning and all of the things we've learned from the mistakes we've made into a framework, actually. Another JavaScript framework,
I know. there's a real fun sign. It's, you know how at workplaces, it's like it's been 25 days since our last accident?
Since our last
It's been zero days since our last JavaScript framework.
Yeah, and we've got another one. Okay, it's called Arch JS, and it is simply that. It's a quick framework that people can kind of get started with. It has a generator for a React application, and they can get going not just with React, but with immutable data and sort of central state storage and cursors for communication between components and really crazy topics that we've been playing around with.
And so what's it called? ArchJS.
ArchJS.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for spending time with us, Robbie.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for watching, and we will catch you next time. Again, we're here at Web Expo 2015, Prague, beautiful city.
Love
Take care.